Our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, last Sunday, we closed our study with Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, and we asked ourselves the question, why were these Hebrew believers in Christ tempted to go back into legalism? That was the question we asked ourselves. And we said that the answer was because they were not going on to maturity in Christ. They were not moving on to maturity in Christ, so they were tempted to go back into legalism. For this reason, the writer of Hebrews applies the brakes and slows down to encourage them to grow up in the Lord. And that is the theme for our further study. Now, most of us are familiar with the Christian classic written by John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress. As believers in Christ, we are pilgrims on this earth. But we are pilgrims who should make progress. We are pilgrims who should make progress. That is what Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 verse 20 is all about. Hebrews 6 verse 11 and 12. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The NIV says, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, the NIV says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 20 is an often misunderstood difficult portion of scripture. But Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 summarizes the main message of this portion of scripture. And I read that verse again. We do not want you to become lazy. Hebrews 6 verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So that's the summary of the main message of this portion of scripture, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 and verse 20. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt, and as a result, a whole generation failed to inherit what God had promised. They were safely delivered out of Egypt, but they never enjoyed the promised rest in Canaan. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And we believers today, we believers in Christ, we can make the same mistake. We can make the same mistake. If you keep in mind that the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, right up to chapter 6 verse 20, is on making spiritual progress. That's the emphasis. Then you will steer safely through misinterpreting this passage. Otherwise, you will unnecessarily get into confusion. So keep that in mind. The whole theme of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 verse 20 is on making spiritual progress. Then you will be able to steer safely through this entire passage without confusion. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20. What do we see? Number one, we see the signs of spiritual childishness. Hebrews 5 verses 11 to 14 tells us the signs of spiritual childishness. And that's our text for study this morning. Number two, we see the appeal the writer makes to spiritual maturity. The appeal to spiritual maturity. Hebrews 6 verses 1 to 12. And then Finally, we see the foundation for spiritual security. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20. Now the writer to the Hebrews is about to begin his explanation of the heavenly priesthood of Jesus Christ. He's about to begin explaining this. But he's not sure that his readers are ready for what he has to teach. The problem is not that he's a dull teacher. The problem is that they are dull hearers. In Hebrews 5 verse 11, we read about this, we have much to say. Hebrews 5 11, about this we have much to say. And it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now the Greek word here translated dull in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 is nothros, nothros. And this same word is translated as slothful in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. In the King James Version we read, Hebrews 6 verse 12, that ye be not slothful, that's nothros, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The ESV translation, it translates it as sluggish. Hebrews 6 verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It refers to a condition of spiritual indifference. That's what nothros is. A condition of spiritual indifference and laziness that prevents spiritual progress. Now we must not forget that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to be childlike in nature. But that does not mean that we become childish. A childlike nature, that's very important for every believer. A childlike nature is a humble, obedient nature, willing to receive instruction like a little child, wanting to learn, willing to learn. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Again in Matthew 18 verse 3, and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 11:25. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. So we are called to be childlike in nature. But childishness is immaturity. Childishness is immaturity. What then are the marks of spiritual childishness or immaturity? Number one, it is dullness toward the word of God. Dullness toward the word of God. Hebrews 5 verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Since you have become dull of hearing. Now these believers started on their backward journey. How did that happen? By drifting from the word of God because of neglecting the word. They were drifting from the word of God, therefore they were moving backwards. They were not progressing because they were neglecting the word of God. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4, remember, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So these people were drifting because they were neglecting the word of God. They were going backwards. Then they began doubting the word. Remember Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 to Hebrews 4:13. They were doubting the word. They were in danger of doubting and disbelieving the word of God. You see, when a person has an erring heart and a disbelieving heart, the result will also be a hard heart. And this is a heart that is insensitive to the word of God. This is a heart that is insensitive to the work of God and the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Hebrews 3 verse 15. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Again, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So as a result of this, they were now dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. Hebrews 5 verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. What does this mean? This means that they were unable to listen to the word of God. They were unable to receive God's word. They were unable to act upon God's word. They did not have the attitude of the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians, we find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Look at their attitude. 1 Thessalonians 2 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. One of the first symptoms of spiritual regression or backsliding is a dullness toward the Bible, dullness toward the word of God. Everything becomes dull. So this kind of person whom you'll hear this kind of person saying, Sunday messages are dull, youth meeting is dull, Sunday school is dull, the preaching is dull, anything spiritual is dull. The problem usually is not with the teacher or the pastor or the youth leader or Sunday school teacher. The problem is with the believer himself or herself. But the person becomes so insensitive to the condition of his or her heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Then you see the second sign of childishness or immaturity. The second sign of childishness or immaturity is the inability to share. The inability to share. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. The ability to share spiritual truth with others, that is a mark of maturity. Not all believers have the gift of teaching. But every believer can share what he or she learns from the word. This every believer can do. One of the hardest lessons children must learn is the lesson of sharing. It's very difficult to teach little children to share. To give others what they have received. A child who moves on to maturity learns how to share. The people who had received this letter, they had been saved for quite some time. They had been saved long enough to be able to share God's truth with others. But instead of helping others to grow, these Hebrew Christians were in need of learning again the simple teachings of the Christian life. They were experiencing a second childhood, so to speak. They did not have God's word dwelling in them richly, and so they were not able to share God's word because they had already neglected the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Then we come to the third sign of childishness or immaturity. Number 3, a milk food baby diet. A milk food baby diet. That's a sign of childishness. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 to 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. Milk is pre-digested food, and it's especially suited for babies. But only those who have teeth can enjoy meat. This milk is defined as the basic principles of the oracles of God. Hebrews 5 verse 12. The meat of the word is the teaching about our Lord's ministry now in heaven as our high priest. And the writer of Hebrews wanted to give this meat to them, but they were not ready for it. In fact, he's about to begin his explanation of the heavenly priesthood of Christ, but he's not sure his readers are ready for what he's going to teach. The problem was because they had become dull hearers. So he now has to pause. He pauses and speaks to them about the problem of their heart. The milk of the word refers to what the Lord Jesus did on earth. His birth, his life, his teaching, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the milk refers to. The milk of the word refers to what the Lord Jesus did on earth. His birth, his life, teaching, death, burial, and resurrection. The meat of the word refers to what the Lord Jesus is now doing in heaven. That's the meat of the word. What Jesus is doing for us now in heaven, that is the meat of the word. And we begin the Christian life on the basis of his finished work on earth, but we grow in the Christian life on the basis of his work that he is now doing in heaven for us. And that's what the writer wants actually to teach. But these people were not ready. Yes, of course, even the most mature adult never outgrows milk. Everyone needs milk. As believers, we can learn. We can still learn much from our Lord's work on earth. But we must not stop there. We must make spiritual progress. And we can do this only if we learn about the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ for us now in heaven. And that's what we must learn. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 to 21 is actually a summary of what the Lord Jesus wants to do for us, his people, now on earth. And that is why he is in heaven interceding for us. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21 gives us a summary. It's actually a benediction, but there you have the summary of what the Lord Jesus wants to do for us, his people, here on earth. And we will actually study these verses in detail when we get to Hebrews chapter 13, but just a small glimpse now will help. Hebrews 13 verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, our great high priest in heaven, is also our great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. When he was on earth, he worked for us. When he completed the great work of redemption on the cross. John 17 verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now that he's in heaven, he is working in us to mature us in his will and bring us to a place of spiritual perfection. That's what he's doing for us now in heaven. He is working in us while we are here on earth to mature us into doing his will and bring us to a place of spiritual perfection. Now, we will never reach that place of spiritual perfection until we see Jesus face to face, until Christ returns. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. You see that? Abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. 1 John 3 verses 1 to 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. You see, that's when we'll become perfect. Verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We will reach complete perfection when we see Jesus Christ face to face. But while we are waiting here on earth, we are told to continue to grow. Hebrews 13 verse 21, and I read to you from the King James Version. Hebrews 13 verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that phrase, make you perfect, Hebrews 13, 21, make you perfect. That is the translation of the Greek word katartizo, katartizo. Now, this is an unfamiliar word to us, but it was a familiar word to the people who received this letter. The Greek doctors knew that this word meant to set a broken bone back in place. The fishermen knew that this word meant to mend a broken net. That's why you find in Matthew chapter 4 verse 21, you find this word, katartizo, Matthew 4, 21. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, katartizo, mending their nets, and he called them. The word for mending here is katartizo. To sailors, this word katartizo, it meant getting a ship ready for a voyage. To soldiers, this word katartizo meant to equip an army for battle. Now, Jesus, our Savior in heaven, he wants to equip us for life on earth that we may do his will, his good and perfect will, which he foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid for us to walk in. The ESV translates this verse so well, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 21. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Tenderly, Jesus wants to set all the broken bones in our lives so that we can walk straight, we can run and not be weary, walk and not faint. He equips us from heaven to run the race successfully on earth. He wants to repair the breaks in the nets so that we can catch fish and win souls. He wants to equip us for battle and outfit us so that we will not be battered in the storms of life. In brief, Jesus wants to mature us so that he can work in us and through us that which pleases him, and accomplish his will in and through our lives. Now, how does he equip us? That's the question. How does he equip us? Now, it's very interesting. When we trace this word katartizo in the New Testament, we can actually discover the ways in which God equips us. The tools that God uses to mature and equip his children are revealed when we actually trace this word katartizo. He uses the word of God. He uses the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see that? Katartizo, for every good work. So we are equipped through the word of God. We are equipped through prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. We are equipped through prayer. We are equipped through the word. We are equipped through prayer. And we are equipped through the fellowship of the local church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Then he also uses individual believers to equip us and mend us. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Finally, God allows suffering in our lives to perfect his children. God allows suffering in our lives to perfect his children. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 to 10. Be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And this suffering also relates to what we will learn about chastening. And we will learn about that in Hebrews chapter 12. There will actually be a great difference in our lives if we turn this passage, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 and 21, if we turn it into a personal prayer each day, there will be a great difference in our lives. Let me give you an example of that prayer. Maybe you can even write it down. Father in heaven, make me perfect in every good work to do your will. Work in me that which is well pleasing in your sight. Do this, I pray, through Jesus Christ your Son, and may he receive all the glory. I repeat, Father in heaven, make me perfect in every good work to do your will. Work in me that which is well pleasing in your sight. Do this, I pray, through Jesus Christ your Son, and may he receive all the glory. The basis for this marvelous work is the blood of the eternal covenant. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. We will study this new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. We will study about this new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. The covenant is based on the ultimate once for all sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And that you will see in Hebrews chapter 10. Because this new covenant was part of God's eternal plan of salvation, and because this new covenant guarantees eternal life, it is called the eternal covenant. It is called the eternal covenant. If Jesus had not shed his blood on the cross and died for us, we would never be able to share in the blessings named in this benediction in Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 to 21. And Jesus now is in heaven working in us while we are here on earth so that we will do his will, and his will would be accomplished in our lives while we are here on earth. And this should be our desire, and this should be our prayer. So we must not remain in childishness and immaturity. Before we leave this passage, there is one more sign of childishness that we must look into. The fourth sign of childishness and immaturity, that is lack of skill in using the word. Lack of skill in using the word. Hebrews 5 verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So as we grow in the word of God, we learn to use it in our daily life. We don't read and study the word of God to get a big head. We get to God's word to know God and to live the life that God wants us to live every day. As we apply the word, we exercise our spiritual senses and we develop spiritual discernment. You see that? Those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So as we apply the word of God, we exercise our spiritual senses and we develop spiritual discernment. Little children, they lack discernment. A little baby will put anything into its mouth. So you must be very careful as to what you give the little baby. An immature believer, he will listen to any preacher on the radio or television and of course on today, internet, social media. And the person will not be able to identify whether or not the preacher or teacher is true to the scriptures. That's because the believer is still immature. You see, our physical bodies have senses. We cannot function without these physical senses. So also our inner spiritual man has spiritual senses. For example, Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Matthew 13 verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So Jesus is speaking here of our spiritual senses. As we feed on the word of God and apply God's word into our daily life, our inner spiritual senses get exercised and they become strong and they become a keen alert. The Apostle Paul called this process being trained for godliness. That's what it's called. The Apostle Paul called this process being trained for godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 7 to 8. "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." The ability to discern good and evil is a vital part of Christian maturity. The nation of Israel in the time of Moses, they lacked this sense, this discernment, and they failed to claim its promised inheritance. That's what happened to Israel. They wandered in the wilderness. They lacked this discernment and they failed to claim Canaan. The readers of this letter were in danger of making the same mistake. It is impossible to stand still in the Christian life. We are either going forward and claiming God's blessings, or we go backward and wander about in the wilderness aimlessly. Many believers are betweeners. They are betweeners. Now, what does this mean? They are between Egypt and Canaan, out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rest and rich inheritance. They live their lives between Egypt and Canaan. They don't enter into Canaan. They are between Egypt and Canaan. Or they are between Calvary and Resurrection Sunday, between Good Friday and Easter. Saved by the blood of Jesus, but not yet enjoying newness of the resurrection life. Now you might be saying, "That's where I am. I am a betweener. I am stuck between Egypt and Canaan. I live between Good Friday and Easter, between Calvary and Resurrection Sunday." Now the good news is that you don't have to live that way. You can get beyond your wilderness experience and get into Canaan today. You can move beyond Easter and experience what it means to live out the kingdom life on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit who's living in you, Christ at work in you. That's why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So I urge you, by the grace of God, please move on to maturity. If you find yourself in the position of being a betweener, confess that to the Lord. Confess that to the Lord. Say, "Lord, this is where I am stuck. I'm stuck between Egypt and Canaan. I have not entered into Canaan. I realize that today, Lord. Have mercy on me. I want to live out the life that you expect me to live, and I know you are in heaven working on my behalf as my great high priest and advocate, and working in me and through me so that I can live this life, Lord. Help me to be sensitive to your voice. Help me not to drift away. Teach me your word. Help me to learn to listen to your voice on a daily basis, O Lord. Speak to my heart. Empower me by your spirit. Anoint me by your spirit so that I can live the life that you want me to live. And if this is your cry this morning, I assure you, God has heard your cry. He has seen your heart. All that he's waiting for is for you to acknowledge the condition of your heart and say, Lord, here I am. Change me. Make me different. And you will begin to experience this difference. Hebrews 13 verse 20 and 21. I read again. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?